Broadway the best way it is, but also we do sometimes off and off Broadway on Inside Broadway. And tonight we're going to be reviewing a show called The Quarrel at the Darryl Roth Theater on East 15th Street. It's only there for a couple of weeks till the end of September, and it's a show basically about two Jewish men after the Holocaust. They grew up together, they were friends, they were in yeshiva together, but one went his secular way, and the other stayed in and became even more religious, and of course that becomes the bone of contention between them when they meet after a long, long time. So I saw it this week, so did a good friend of this program and of mine, Iris Dorbian. Iris, are you there? Iris, hello?
Hello. My ears still haven't recovered from that Xanadu song.
You don't like Cary Butler doing Xanadu? What's wrong with that?
I'm still in shock.
Oh. Well, the fact that Xanadu's closing, or what?
No, the music.
No, it's a great song. It's very catchy. It's ELO. Anyway, what did you think of The Quarrel at the Darryl Roth Theater?
Well, I mean, I thought it was pretty interesting, but, you know, to me, it didn't really present any real fresh insight on something like this, like this chasm between these two men, you know, divided by religion. One goes the secular route, and the other one stays very religious. I just didn't think it was fresh, to tell you the truth.
Well, it's not that fresh, because the material is a good decade old. It was originally a film, and then the authors, David Brandis and Joseph Telushkin,
I'm sorry, you know what I thought was really interesting?
What?
I thought it was interesting that I don't know if it was a choice on the actor's part, or maybe it was the writing, but I thought it was interesting that the religious character was, for me, far more sympathetic than the secular one, who seemed, again, I don't know if it was a choice on his part or the writing, who seemed kind of arrogant, smarmy.
Well, this is a very bitter man, the secular one. He lost his family. He lost his wife and kid in the Holocaust.
Yes.
So he is angry against God, and he's probably angry also against all the people who didn't turn their backs on God when God turned their backs on him. So I understand that bitterness.
Yeah.
And also, we're probably more likely to identify with the more secular man.
Well, that's what I meant. So it was very interesting that I found the religious guy more sympathetic, considering that, you know, as you know, I'm not exactly religious.
No.
So I thought that was pretty interesting. I guess my only real quarrel, no pun intended, is that I just didn't find it particularly fresh or original.
Yeah, I mean, I like
dated.
I mean, well, for me, the argument is always fresh. I mean, we're never going to, until if there ever is a Messiah and he comes, that'll answer all the questions. But until then, to me, it's always a fresh argument. Where was God during the Holocaust? Where's God now? And how do you believe, and how do you put your belief into your life? To me, it's just, as a play, it's an argument. It's a dialogue, a dialectic.
But you know, maybe it's because there was for such a point an unrelenting deluge of Holocaust themed dramas where the same themes are brought up over and over again. I think it's just tired.
Yeah.
I think the material's just tired. I think that was my complaint. I said I've heard this before.
Yeah. Well, my complaint is that it's not that the argument is tired, but that the framework is just to have the argument. And that the men aren't that particularly interesting. I mean, they're brought together to have this conversation, and that's it, you know?
And it's just, exactly. It just comes out of nowhere. Oh, they just meet, you know, in Toronto. Park. Just comes out of nowhere. And you're right. Their characters are not particularly interesting. In a way, they're both cliches.
And mouthpieces.
Exactly.
You know what it is to me? It's like this is the kind of thing that if George Bernard Shaw were Jewish, he would make this like the middle of a second act of one of his plays.
But he would make it far more interesting.
Well, he'd make it more intellectual,
He would make it more intellectual, but he would also make the characters a lot more interesting,
I think.
Because he's, you know, I mean, he's a tremendous writer. I mean, I'm very biased when it comes to him. So.
I will say, I do think there are moments in the play that are kind of touching. I mean, anytime somebody mentions a name of a person, and all the one has to do is look at the other to know that person didn't make it through, you know, through Europe, through the Holocaust. I thought that was kind of, and also I should say that, just as a caveat, One of the actors, the fellow playing the secular Jew, Sam Gunsler, is an old friend of mine going back to my NYU days. So I have to kind of put that out there to be fair. But I thought it was okay. I was just like, it was all right. Interesting to a point.
I mean, I guess like if it's raining out and you want to take shelter from the storm, this is an okay way to pass an hour.
You know, actually what's even better, especially if it's raining out and you need shelter and something to do, is to read a book.
Yes.
Maybe a book about, like, I don't know, Broadway producers or something. Do you know any books like that?
Yes. As a matter of fact, I know this one book that's very close and dear to my heart. It's called Great Producers, Visionaries of the American Theater. And it was just released by Allworth Press about a month ago. And the author is myself.
Oh, no kidding. Yeah, all right. I don't play surprise very well. So who are some of the producers that you interview in the book?
Well, let me say, I interviewed Daryl Roth, a very well-known detective, Daryl Roth Theater. We just mentioned that.
That's right.
Let me see. Jack Fertel, who's the creative director of Jude Jameson, Roger Berlin, a longtime producer, Andre Bishop, who's the artistic director of the Lincoln Center Theater, Margot Lyon, she's the producer of Hairspray.
Wow.
Fran Weisler, who has produced a lot of shows with stars in them. Cameron McIntosh, I'm sure
you've heard of Cameron McIntosh. What was he like to interview? Was he interesting? Was he dry and British? Or
he was very dry and British, and really very funny and very candid.
Oh, cool!
I was very, very surprised about it. And he had some really great stories in there. Like, for example, about how he kept railing against the instant communications that we have nowadays, like meaning email. And he just said what was really great that when he got started, because he was kind of this hungry, sort of struggling producer who was short on funds, is that he banked at several banks, and it was really great because by the time, he just said that the problem with instant communications, that he couldn't do what he did when he first started, which was basically wait several weeks until the check clears. Which is stave off the creditors. Like nowadays you can't do it, but that's what he could do it back then, because we didn't have email and instant communication. So that was pretty funny. And I found him very candid, and it was very interesting because I had read an interview with him that he gave to this PBS series called Broadway, the American Musical.
Uh-huh.
This was before I interviewed him, because I know the producer and the writer of that series, Michael Cantor, and he gave me a copy of the transcript of this interview. And in this, and one of the questions that Michael asked him, which was not included in the series, was how would he like to be remembered? And Cameron McIntosh said that he really didn't want to be remembered because, who remembers who produced Shakespeare's plays? A producer really shouldn't be remembered. Well, it was interesting because I asked him the same question because I was curious whether he would give me the same answer.
Yeah.
He didn't. He was actually a lot more heartfelt and kind of sentimental, and he basically said he would like to be remembered for being the person who changed the face of musical theater in the late 20th century.
And you could have said, hey, look, people do remember that, say, David Merrick was the producer of Fanny and Jumbo and Hello Dolly. I mean, people kind of remember that 50 years on.
And David Merrick is a producer that I profile. I did profile Four Dead Ones.
Oh, that's good. The interviews must have been pretty boring on that, though.
Well, actually, there were 10, because the title goes, I really wanted to focus on great, hugely successful producers.
Sure.
And the editor and I, when I was working on this, we both agreed that I should talk about some of the legendary producers, which include Ziegfeld, David Merrick.
Belasco. David Belasco.
Belasco,
right?
And also Joe Papp.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, very, very well-known producer. So for them, for the other producers, the ones who are very much alive, I did interview them all, and I also interviewed people who worked with them. But for the dead ones, I did do a lot of research, but I also interviewed people who have worked with them, including, believe it, a 104-year-old Ziegfeld Folly.
Wow.
I don't know if she's still alive.
A Folly girl, wow.
Yes, but I don't know if she's, but she was alive 2 years ago when I started working on the book. Doris E. Travis. and yeah, who worked with Ziegfeld, well, who was Ziegfeld Folly when she was a young teenager.
Wow.
And it was very interesting to get her insights, and she's still really spry, you know. Yeah, bless her.
And so people can read your profiles of all these producers, living and dead, in your book. Tell again the title and where people can get it.
Okay, Great Producers, Visionaries of the American Theater. The publisher is Allworth Press. You can get it on Amazon.com, and you can also get it in Barnes & Noble. It's in all the Barnes & Noble stores. If you're in Manhattan, it's in the Drama Bookshop. If you're in L.A.,
somewhere in L.A. If you're in Iceland,
Samuel French. I mean, it's basically at all, like, most of the better bookstores.
Well, the best bookstores, because it's a book written by you, Ira Storbian. Thank you so much, by the way, for being part of Dave's Gone By once again, and for being on Inside Broadway. Congratulations on the book from Allworth Press, and be seeing you on the aisle and certainly back here on the mic on Dave's Gone By.
Thank you very much for having me on your show.